We had a glorious time. The Spirit of God fell, about 1,500 people. We gave an altar call. People come rushing down. The Holy Spirit hit me. I come down. I fall on a bunch of these little Filipinos. And as a result of them, a lot of them became closer to Jesus. And so the next morning, we're walking around. All these kids, I didn't know who John, whatever his name is. So we're walking, and I got a pair of red shorts on and one of those T-shirts. You know, I didn't have anything, but I was. So all of a sudden, we're walking and looking around, and a group of kids, like 50 of them there, they see him, and they're, John Cena. Cena or Cena? Cena, there it is, Cena. They come running around him like he was that famous. I didn't even know who he was. So I'm standing there like. One kid turns before God and says, Santa Claus. They call me Santa Claus. So this guy, the whole time I'm preaching, he's down there, ho, 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 you know. It just was a struggle. I'm going to pray. But I let me tell you a story about John. And so I didn't know what to do. John was doing something, the same thing next door. So I went over to him, and he was telling me what he was doing. And I said, well, you can see over there, I have the same issue. And so he said, I said, how much? And I remember he said, $1,900. He said, $1,900. We were living on about 15 bucks a week with kids at the time. And I said, I just don't have the money. And he said, can you believe God, by the first of the year, you could pay me that $1,900? And they're, yeah. So, you know, he kind of let me know he was serious. He's there. So I start sharing Christ with him. He said, you know what? You sound just like my wife. That's how I met Judy Halstead. And I still have, our tapes used to go around the world, and people used to say, who is that woman in your church who really laughs loud? It's a Halstead, and if you know it, it's in their kids and everything, that thing. So we're going to get into the Word of God. Something I want to do because I'm home is what I like to do, and I was doing this before I even knew who Joel Osteen was. So just so you know this, does anybody have a Bible? Because I do have a Bible. But I type my Bible verses out when I'm preaching, so I don't have to do this. So I want you to stand up with me. ESV, that's what Jesus used too. Hallelujah. If you do have your Bible, whatever, your phones, your iPads and stuff like that, your watches, so say with me, in the name of Jesus, this is my Bible. I am who it says I am, and I can do what it says I can do. This is the incorruptible, indestructible, true living word of God. Father God, I will hide your word in my heart. And I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Tell somebody you're never going to be the same. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm excited that I just got to say this also. You know, I come here and I get spiritually enriched, but also I get natural help. I was talking to Pastor Halstead before the service, and I have many times in the wintertime, my skin gets dry, my elbows and everything else. So I looked in our medicine cabinet, I grabbed whatever that stuff was, it said cream, I put it on my head, I'm driving here, I thought somebody threw acid on my face. But Pastor Halstead gave me some wisdom from his wife. He said, go to Walmart and buy this stuff, Brother Bob's bee wax or something, bee buzz wax. And rub it all over your face and you'll be fine. Thank you, Jesus, that I get this holistic help, not just spiritual help, when I come to Rock Solid Church. So after here, I'm going to go get some of that Brother B's buzz wax stuff right after. I don't know what it's up. So I'm just going to kind of exhort you. You know, the Apostle Paul, when you look in the epistles, he said things like this. I want to tell you something that you already know. And there are times in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because of life, that we kind of forget. We really do. I find in our church that there are people who know things, but they forget things. And sometimes some of the most powerful, profound truths are the basics of the faith. People fail in their walk with Christ They don't apprehend what Christ apprehended them because of the basic things. Right. You don't need to know eschatology or soteriology. You don't have to know any of that, but you do need to know Jesus. Right. And those basic things, I have found with my wife, I humbly say this, March 7th will be my 47th year. Woo! Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the great thing is, I'm preaching with my wife. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. We just were in Asia. We had a glorious time. I remember when two doctors told me, your wife will not survive this next year. Look, I'm a person of faith. But what will you have people tell you that? It was a tough thing. You know, that woman is the strength. Christ is number one, but she is the strength of my life. When I don't know what to do, let me tell you what, my wife can tell me what to do. Doesn't happen over here in Columbia County, but in Albany County, we're loaded with women who know more than the men, that's for sure. And so I'm humbled by what I tell you. I've known her 51 years, 52 years, and we are closer today. I mean, the grace of God is so powerful. And so she is a great woman of faith, and I've learned a lot from her. And one of the things I have really learned, even though I've preached it, was to be careful with my words. More lives are destroyed with words than bombs. And so Satan has a strategy this morning to keep the lost person lost. And he's got a strategy to keep the Christian weak, anemic, spiritually undeveloped. And one of the most primary things I'm going to talk about this morning is faith. And let me just tell you about the true gospel of Jesus. I'm talking about the true gospel. Is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just telling somebody to come to Jesus. That's not the gospel. That's not the full gospel. That's a quarter gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And these signs will follow, not the preacher, not the teacher, not the worship people, the believers. These signs shall follow them who believe. And God is reinvigorating this. The greater man's extremity, the greater the opportunity. God has no other method to change this county and to change this nation but you. And so as we talk about a few things this morning in the area of faith, I just got done teaching 11 continuous weeks on faith. So I'm kind of loaded with faith. And I am believing things that I can't see that are implausible, impossible. I'm believing God for revival. I'm so happy to hear this man said, God's not done with America yet. Amen. I'm not giving up on it. You think this was bad? You should have been around in the 1860s. Families destroying each other, hating each other, burning their homes. But in the midst of all of this, we had a president who humbled himself, and God brought peace into a nation. Now, we got to go a long ways, but God's not done, and I'm not going to be moved by what the president says, the vice president. We pray for them every day in the name of the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to be moved by what God says. Hallelujah. And so one of the things we must be careful about that God spoke to me, because 21 and 22 was the most two difficult years of my walk with Christ. I lost three of my top leaders, died. COVID lost 7 people. Some of them, I went to their homes. They had come in, they got saved, but they grew up in denominational type things. Some of them, and oh no, this was God's will. Yeah, according to your faith be unto thee, you know. And so the thing with the camp, all these things happen within a short span. And I cried out to God, why? He said, Satan's strategy is to cause you not to apprehend why I called you through distractions. COVID was a distraction. Face mask was a distraction. All the stuff the government has done and has backfired on most of them, as we're going to see, because that which makes light will make manifest. You can hide all the secret things, but God's spirit will reveal it. So it's through distractions, whether it's a family problem, a physical problem, a financial problem. In fact, in our church right now during this fast 21 days, we're praying for 5 F's, I'll tell them to you. We're praying for families. I'm not giving up on families. You sang that song. I'd like to get a copy if I never saw that. Man, that thing washed me because that's what I'm believing for. I like songs that say things to God. I don't know. There's something about it. We're praying for families. We're praying for friends to use us. We're praying for our finances, getting out of debt. We're praying for the favor of God to be upon us to reach others for Christ. We're praying about freedom from affliction. And look at, this seems real basic. Delay does not mean decline with God. Amen. Put it out. Delay does not mean decline with God. And so as we talk about faith this morning, let me just tell you a couple of things before I get into the scriptures that I just wrote down, God gave me. And this is something I had to learn. Faith is not something that you do to get God to do something for you. Amen. Faith is not overcoming reluctance in a reluctant God. Faith is simply this. Faith is simply receiving what God has already provided for us through the cross of Jesus Christ. Faith is not trying to get God to do anything. Faith, I grew up say preaching, faith moves the hand of God. No, he's not stuck. We're stuck. I don't know if the Halsteads remember this, but we had this troop come in. They would do mimes and stuff like this. So I remember they did one, and this guy was sitting in a chair on our platform, and he was supposed to be God. And it was like a little Pentecostal woman come up. She had her hair in a bun, and she's praying. And she started praying like this. Oh, God, move, 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 God. And God starts going, stir, stir. And it was a visual of us talking to the God who said, let there be light, and then 186,000 miles per second, that God, telling him what he should do. Acts chapter 15, known to God are all of his works from the foundation of the earth. Before he even created this, he already had our needs supplied. Yes. Now the issue is, can we believe that? The issue is, are we going to determine the validity of the word of God based on what we see, what we feel, what the rumors say, what the news say? If you're going to move like that, you will always be in confliction. Let me give you, I'm going to talk about for a few moments, the law of faith. Let me give you Romans chapter 3. I'm not trying to be profound. I'm trying to be practical. And I just could have worshiped all day. Before I'm a preacher, I'm a worshiper. When I don't know what to do as a person of faith, I worship. When I don't know what to do, I worship. And I like it loud. So I'm claiming a couple of these musicians from Albany, New York, in the name of Jesus. Okay. I can't get nobody to agree with me unless two or more agree is touching anything. And so the law of faith. Somebody say the law of faith. Here it is. Did I give it to you? Don't make me come in that back room. Oh, brother, you can hide behind that little desk way in the corner, but I can see the top of your head. Romans 3:27. We got to get into the Bible for a little bit. Where is boasting then? The Apostle Paul said, it is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Basic, simplistic, but faith is governed by law. That means that the law, to be a law, it has to be universal. It has to be consistent and constant. That means if gravity works in Columbia County, it must work in Albany County, or it's not a law. It's a happenstance. It's a coincidence. So one thing about God has laws that he set in motion, just like he did gravity, just like he did thermodynamics. All those laws, they're consistent everywhere at the same time, all the time. And faith is a force that is very, very predictable and is consistent. Amen? I think that faith, biblical faith, we can count on more than the law of gravity. Jesus proved that when he walked on the water. And so we must really understand, because I tell you what, this church has been called to greatness. You've already done profound things, more than you think. This church is spoken of. I know people in this region who I met. I will mention Rock Solid Church. You're spoken well of. Not so much Pastor Halsted, but the church is spoken well of. They all love Brenda. I just know that, you know. I started to get a little teary-eyed this morning because I saw their beautiful daughter, Chelsea. And I remember when your mom was your age. Yeah. She's still as beautiful today at 71 years old as she was when I first met her. So let me give you some basics so we can move to a point that I'm going to tell you. I'm going to rip the face of the devil off with a lie that the church has believed. And it has hindered us from receiving God's best for our lives. And I'm telling you this not out of theology, out of a practical walk with Jesus. Just a daily living with Jesus. God is delivering the church from the yo-yo Christianity. You're up one day, down the next day. Up one day, down the next day. That yo-yo Christianity. Unfortunately, in our church, I got so many people from other countries, they didn't know what a yo-yo was. So I had to try to demonstrate. I'm going like this. And what's that? You know, I used to do walk the dog around the world. They say I was good in the day. So let's do something real basic that you know. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible. Let me give you the deepest etymological understanding of the word impossible. In the Greek language, it means not possible. So without faith, it's impossible to please him. Here's two things. To please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. That means he has no limitation. He, in fact, is that Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the firstborn from the dead. He's the ruler of all the kings of the earth. He's the one who's released us from our sins by his blood. We declare he is Lord. You want to please God, you must take every limitation off. Number two, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God has been dealing with me about healing. As I have heard a pastor share with me some healings you've had in this church, it shouldn't be a wonder any longer. Right. It should be a sign that flows through each of us. Many of you know a very close friend to this house was Brother Vaughn Gerald. And I met him in 83. I loathed him. Because he was a strong personality. He was over opinionated, and he was British. I used to say, 1776. We would call it Independence Day. He would call it the Day of Great Rebellion. So anyways, that was the whole thing. And so I remembered, long story short, he ended up coming to our ministry. He had no credit, no nothing. Nothing. And so I saw a house for sale. He saw it too, and he said, can we go look at it? So I go in and with him, and he doesn't really know real estate. And I remember knocking at the door. The door opens up and a man stands in front of me and yells to his wife and leaves. And we're like, what? You know, it's the British thing, teeth and all that stuff, you know. So they come back and he says, that's the man, me, who prayed for me and God healed me. He had black lung. He was from Poland and he worked in the coal mine. We were playing sports on a Monday night. And he was watching us, and he had a mop, and I could see he couldn't hardly breathe. So I went over, I said, are you okay? I got black lung. I said, can I pray for you? I didn't pray for him. I stopped praying for people when it comes to healing. I speak over him. Can't find one place in the New Covenant where Jesus prayed for anybody or the apostles. They used the name of Jesus. We spoke it this morning. So I simply put my hand on him. I said, I curse that in the name of Jesus. Be healed. And that was all. Now 5 years later. He said, I've been completely healed of black lung. I knew this was a God thing. And so I said to him, because Vaughn and his wife just looked through the house. They said, yeah. So I said, when you came to this country, did you have anything? No, just stuff in a suitcase. I said, I'm going to ask you to help this family. They got nothing, but they need a home. They got children. So I got done talking to him. Him and his wife went and talked. They said, we'll help him. The reason why I'm telling you that, because it was a sign that God was with us. God wants to give signs to every one of us. I don't want to be a wet water walker. I want to be a dry boat rider. No. I want to be a wet water walker. I want to see, not a dry boat rider. And I'm telling you, if God is going to bring revival and renewal to this county, I was up early this morning praying for family members. I got some family members that really need God. And yet they say they're Christians. Not in Columbia County, only up in Albany County. But I have found out that prayer gives access to God. But it's got to be prayers that is believing prayer. You know what I found out about God? I used to think this. I know nobody in Columbia County thinks like this. I used to think when I had a prayer request that I would pour my heart out before God, and God had this huge supernatural desk with every prayer request from every humanoid on the planet. And he'd say, he tithes, get him. That person was late to church this week. We're not answering their prayer. That's not how it works. There are laws, irrefutable biblical principles and laws. It's the law of faith. It's not by works of righteousness. And if we can get a better understanding of how the law of electricity works, I remember we were in Greenville. We led this guy to Christ, Tim Harper. I don't know if you remember, he was from Georgia, had a big beard. He looked like one of the Smith brothers, you know, from the cloth drops. And so he come up, was going to do work on my deck. And so I didn't really understand the laws of electricity in the early days. And I put a box out there, but it wouldn't work. And so I had thought that I shut it off. He said, I'll take that thing apart. Is it off? I mean, it's off. I thought it was off. He stuck a screwdriver in there. I'll tell you what. I actually saw him fall backward, go backwards. He had smoke coming out of his feet. He had that heavy Georgia. I thought, you said it was off. Well, in my mind it was, you know, but because I didn't really understand the law of electricity. And if you don't understand a law of electricity, it will hurt you. It could take your life. And if we don't get a better understanding of how faith works, that law of faith, I believe that God answers my prayer because I take the principles of what he said is a fact. And that manifests the answer. Not my circumstance, not my situation, not people's opinion. Let me give you Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible makes it really clear in 1 John 5:4 that this is the victory. Look, I'm a faith preacher. I'm not a word of faith preacher. I'm not against that. But I'm just a man who believes God. I'm not against word of faith people, but I don't flow in that same group that they do. I have different beliefs about the apostolic and different things, and I thank God for all of them. Anybody who's doing a work for Jesus, I thank God for them. Amen. But we are people of faith, amen? Never confess you're a doubter, never. Never confess you're a doubter, because I'm going to show you something. The problem is not faith, it's doubt. We'll talk about that in a second. Let me give you once again, 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcometh our world, our faith. So everything the Lord does, and look, this is not hyper faith. This is just basic Christianity 101. All that you're ever going to receive from God is through faith. Amen? And so one of the areas that I'm going to talk about just for a few moments, we're going to pray at the end. Some of you are going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I see my brother Larry over there. We love him. He comes every year, and he cooks the most incredible tofu chicken. He barbecues his tofu chicken. He told me it was real chicken, but... So one of the areas where about faith that most people really find trouble in is this concept of I have to acquire more faith to receive from God. That is a lie. I'm going to prove it to you biblically. That's part of Satan's strategy. We're like a dog chasing its own tail, trying to get something we already got. Can I get an amen? So here it is. Every born-again Christian, and I don't just mean spirit-filled Christian. You know, I just heard a church in Albany, New York. A friend of mine was visiting the church, and he got talking to the pastor, and he asked them if this was a church that allowed for the gifts of the Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, you bring that stuff here, I'll throw you out of our church right now. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to worship with you. I don't want to have 3 songs up there, and that's what we do every week, and I can tell you for the 6 months. I mean, how many experienced the flow of God today? God already spoke to me in the midst of the worship. When we're gathered in his name and there is true biblical worship. Worship, what does this for me? It aligns me. And I heard the confession of faith in this house. This is a church of faith. That means there's no limitation. Can I get a witness to that one? And so every believer, part of Satan's strategy is to make you feel, I got to get more faith. But every born-again Christian, not even just spirit-filled Christians, every born-again Christian has the same quantity and quality, here it goes, of faith that Jesus Christ had. Yeah. Say amen, oh my. I'm going to break that. And I spent my life trying to get more faith from God when I didn't realize how much faith I already had. Let me give you something you guys know if you're a Baptist. I'm kind of a Baptist-costal, but Ephesians 2:8, very familiar scripture. It says, for by grace you are saved through faith. Can I get an amen? Amen. Not of yourself. Amen? Yes. It is the gift of God. So it's God's grace that saves us, but that's not the only thing. It's kind of like if you just get sodium chloride, you just take sodium, it's going to kill you. But if you mix the two, we're saved by grace through faith. It's the gift of God. So everyone who is saved, I mean, every person on this planet has the grace of God extended to them. Titus 2:11, it says, the grace of God that has brought salvation has already appeared, one version says, to all of humanity. The problem is they don't know it. That's why you're here. That's the problem. But just because the grace of God has appeared to all humanity, it does not mean that they're saved. That's really important. So we have to put our faith in God's grace, but that faith isn't a human faith. God gave us human faith. Thank God, every time I get on a plane, I don't sit there and struggle whether the guy can fly the plane. You know, when I sat down this morning, I wasn't worried. Can this chair hold me? So, Ephesians 2:8 reveals to us, it's faith, that faith is the gift of God. Look, do I believe that salvation is a gift of God? Yay and amen. But if you read it in the original Greek, and I've parsed all those words, it reveals that faith is the gift of God, not just salvation. We're saved by grace through faith. What's the context? Faith, it's the gift of God. What does it produce? Salvation. But I want to tell you today, the faith that you have in you was given to you at the new birth. You have more than sufficient. We're going to see in a moment in Romans 12 that even if you have the measure of faith, that's more than enough to apprehend what Christ apprehended. It's more than enough faith to God use you for a sign and a wonder in the life of other people. And part of the problem is we expend most of our faith energy on ourselves. There's something about when you just take a chance. I've been finding, I have led truthfully, I don't know how many people to Christ, almost like I didn't know I was going to do it. Just recently, and I'm not telling you to do this because you could get smacked in the face. I was at a restaurant with a bunch of preachers in Albany, and young girl come up to me, and she was going to take me. I don't know why I said this, because you know, God can give you a word that doesn't fit for anybody but for them. So she was very nice. I said, hey, let me ask you a question. She said, sure, sir. I said, you ever been in prison? She said, I just recently got out. She starts weeping in front of everybody. I've ruined my life. We broke the power of that. She came to Christ right there. Right there. Now, in the old days, I'd be afraid. My wife said, you ever been in prison? My wife said, You gotta throw the dice sometimes. Hallelujah. So we're going to go somewhere. I just want you to know that there is a natural faith and there's a spiritual faith. God gave us natural human faith. Amen? And so using this natural human faith, we can sit on the chair and not worry if it's going to collapse. But that's human faith. We're not saved by that faith. We're talking about a supernatural faith. We know in Hebrews it says that by faith, God spoke the worlds into existence. Amen? Hebrews 11:1, let me give it to you so I can move ahead in the Amplified Version. Now, faith is assurance, it's the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as real fact that which is not revealed to the senses. You know what? I have never seen the devil. I saw a couple of people in my life that look like the devil, but I can tell you one, he's right in this church. Where's Peter Voicy? Where are you, Peter? He's hiding because he knew I was going to talk about him. We did a play one time, and where's Peter? Oh, there he is. We had him dressed up. This is in the old days when you had a lot of hair in the middle there, and we had him spiked up. And he was supposed to be the devil in the play, you know. And he looked like the devil, right? We had another guy from Lebanon. He was John the Baptist. He looked just like John the Baptist. It took us a long time to get that wild honey. Anyway, so you know what I'm talking about. I haven't seen the devil, but yet I believe him. I haven't seen heaven, but I believe that when I die, I'm going to go there. Anybody else? I've never seen sin, but I know the effects of sin in my life and in your life. However, we need to believe things that you cannot see, you cannot feel, you cannot hear, you cannot touch, you cannot smell by faith. You know, by faith, I can tell you something. By faith, and I'm humbled here today, by faith, my wife and myself have built a great marriage. By faith. 5 years from now, my wife still will be crazy about me. Oh, she told me the other day she's so happy being married to me. She said she was blessed. Oh, she is such a blessed person. Hallelujah. And so one of the things about faith as we move ahead to the point I really want to get to is that according to Romans 4:17, our father of our faith, Abraham, says that God calls things which be not as though they are. So faith goes beyond all those natural senses. This is a review. I know you know this. But in this context, we must embrace the supernatural. I want to challenge you as the word of faith gets into you. What we're doing right now in our own church, I wrote this little thing. It's our whole church. We've got 200-300 people doing this. Every day for 21 days, we're confessing scriptures. We're not talking about confessing cars or bigger homes. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you declare with your mouth that you're saved, you're saved. It's like Greek word homologia. So we're all saying the same thing. We had our intercessory prayer Saturday and corporate prayer. And I tell you what, we got up and we confessed these and the Spirit of God fell because people came into agreement. What saved the scriptures? Last Tuesday, one of our elders preached on at that time it was like 10 days or whatever it was. And there's something about when the word is spoken and received by people of faith, spoken by people of faith, it goes forth and it does not return void. I want to challenge you to speak faith over your family. My brother had a son, 20-some years, he was a crack addict. I mean, he lived in a box in Albany, New York. My poor brother he came to be with us about 4 years ago. He's an evangelist, and he loved God, went to a great church, but they believe this. They believe that God uses pain and sickness to teach you something. Jesus is the will of God in action. Come on, we can say this. He only did what the Father told him to do. He only said what the Father told him to say. He only went what the Father told him to say. He is the will of God. You want to understand God? Study the life of Jesus, because he only says and does. You never find Jesus anywhere saying, all right, you're sick. God gave that to you to teach you humility. That's not the will of God. Jesus is the will of God. If you want to know the will of God, I've been going back. I spent a lot of time in the epistles, but the last 2-3 months, I have been pouring my life into the gospels once again. I'm following my hero, Jesus. Whatever he says, that's what I'm going to start saying. The way he acts is what I'm going to say. And you know what? You can follow the chronology of that in the Bible. You'll find that the apostles did the same exact thing. You don't even find anywhere. I have been spending time in the Word. No one ever prayed for anybody. Father, I lift Brother Joe up to you. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for people, but when they're sick in their body or their mind or their emotions, these demonic forces, they smite our bodies. I'm not demon possessed. I get oppressed. He'll oppress your mind. He'll oppress your physical body with sickness. And I'm telling you, greater is he who's in you and who's in me. And so my brother's son, I led him to Christ right down. And we did a special snow thing down in Earlton at Mark's house and his wife Sandy there. He was 11 years old. He came. I brought him with me. He accepted Christ. His father and mother weren't even really walking with Christ at that time. And he went to college, became a highly educated guy, but in college they started smoking pot and doing a little bit of cocaine, and now he lived in boxes. He looked like a shell of a human being when I found him in a crack house. But God. Goes to our church now. God can always take the extreme situation. It might look bad. It might look hopeless. It might look like it's over, but God. We cast the devil out of him. And now he's working me at, you know, we're going to get him a job. He's got two kids. Led her to Christ. They're not married yet. And so we're counseling them. I'm only saying this was so bad. My poor brother. When you look at some, this kid is, I mean, that kid, he's 30 some years old. He would break into their house. They had a beautiful home. They had to screw the windows shut and everything because that crack demonic force was robbing them of everything. But today, I was with him Tuesday night in worship. Got his hands lifted up. He is worshiping the name of the Lord. I'm saying that's why we're praying for families. I'll tell you what, God saves families. Thou shalt be saved and thy household. Take the restriction off of God. Let him be God. Let him do what he's got to do. He'll do it. You stand in the place of agreement. Get one or two other people to stand in agreement with you. That situation will change for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God calls those things which be not as though they are. And so, I mean, just think about Abraham. He was 100 years old when God told him he's going to have a kid. I just said to my wife a couple weeks ago, you want to have another baby? She said, I'm 68 years old. I'm not ready for it. I said, I'm ready for it. And the next kid's going to be, his name's going to be Ernie. I've asked all my kids, I got 10 or 11 grandkids, nobody will name their name Ernie. I said, what about the daughters? What about Ernestina? But they just won't do it. Once again, we got to move here, so I want to get to this point. And so Romans 10, 17 says this. You know this. Come on, help me say it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Amen? And so there's something about it. It's old-fashioned. It's Christianity 101. I don't have time to go there. Do you remember John the Baptist? The Bible says he was the greatest living prophet who ever lived in the old covenant. Greater than anybody, it says. Jesus said that. He was the only one in the Bible, in the new covenant, who received the Holy Ghost before Jesus did. He grew up with a group of people who were way beyond the Pharisees. They were called the Essence. That was the name of the group. And they lived isolated from the rest of the tribes of Israel. They felt they were more spiritual and all these different things. And so they wouldn't interact with other Jews. They felt, and here's what they did feel. They felt that God would set them apart for the coming of the Messiah. They were messianic people waiting in faith. And so John understood his mission. You could go read it in the Gospels where he says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He was the one who said, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. He baptized Jesus. And the Spirit, and he knew the prophetic word that whoever you see the Spirit fall upon like a dove, he's the Messiah. Can I tell you what? He was a man of great faith. But he stood up as a prophet and he spoke something against Herod. They arrested him. And it is said historically that he spent 6 months to 2 years in a Roman prison. And it was an Albany County jail with three hots and a cot and a remote. People didn't bring them food. They died. They starved to death. They lived in their own dung and their own waste. And they drank water that most of it would kill us. And so after 6 months to 2 years, John sends some of his disciples. We're talking about a man of faith. Understood his destiny. Understood that he had been called from in the womb. You don't think his parents, his father was a priest, understood? You know what God said to you about you? When I was a boy, my mother used to say to me, and I used to get mad at her as a teenager. She'd say, you're a man of God. I don't want to be a man of God. I play the bass guitar. Rock and roll forever. I'm just going to put it out there. It didn't work out. So just so you know. And I realized today what my mother was doing. She was said, when I was, she was pregnant with me, she had such complications, my mother and father told me as I got to be older, that at that time, they wanted to have her to have an abortion. And my father encouraged her to have an abortion. You're going back almost 70 years, you know, that my father didn't want to lose her. My mother had a dream, she told me. In that dream, God came to her and said, you're carrying a man of God. Don't abort. About 6 months pregnant, she's in a car accident with my uncle, Jimmy, and they rolled over three times. There was no seatbelts back in those days. She was like a little peanut in a jar. And then I came along, and she used to say, you're a man of God. I couldn't stand it. I didn't want to be a man of God. But God. John was the same way. But now you can have faith and doubt at the same time. He sent his disciples and said, ask Jesus, are you the one? Or should we look for somebody else? Look, you might have some doubt issues right now, but it doesn't mean you're not a person of faith. Doubt and faith can exist at the same time in the life of a believer for different issues. I have strong faith in certain areas and other faith, I'm still working on it. Amen? So don't ever say you're a doubting Thomas. Take every limitation off of God. We're going to break the power of that lie, that illusion in a few moments. You have the same quality and the same quantity of faith because God gave it to you as a gift. Stop trying to acquire faith. Now, I'm not saying don't hide the word in your heart that you don't sin against God. This morning, my meditation at 3:30 was, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's old-fashioned, but it still works today in 2023. Hallelujah. And everybody, I believe, has the same measure of faith. I grew up where people would say, oh, I wish I had the faith in them. Catherine Kuhlman, she had great faith. I wish I had great faith like her or whoever it might be that you've seen did God use. I loved Reinhard Bonnke. Great faith. I wish I had it. You have his faith. Yep. The issue is learning to operate in the principles or the law of faith. You can do it. In Christ, through faith, you can jump over a wall. You can run through a troop in the name of Jesus. He is in you. The mighty God is in you. Christ in you, the hope of all glory. Hallelujah. The greater one is in the house today. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 All born again Christians. Let me give you 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter said this. He said he was a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained like precious faith. Can I ask somebody here in Hudson, New York, who has the same like precious faith? You got the same like precious faith. There is no limitation. You don't need more faith. Forget that. You know, I learned from, he knows him too, Elbert Willis. I was in South Africa and preaching. He was the great preacher. I preached the morning meetings where nobody came. I'm all fired up. I get there, seven people under a tent that has 5,000. But at nighttime, he would preach signs and wonders. The tent filled outside crowds of people. And I remember the first night I was there afterwards, I know probably doesn't happen in Columbia County, but after the signs and the wonders, people saved, people healed, crowds of preachers would come up around him. Got their card. You see, we like to invite you to our church. See, vicariously, they believe if he's successful, he's with me, then I'm successful. No, the issue is if Jesus is with you, and by the way, he's overwhelming here today. Amen. He's with us. Amen. He is with us. I have a little book called that. Even when I was sick, I still believe God healed. I believe it's the will of God that none perish. People are going to go to hell, but I'm still, because of their own choice. Hell wasn't created for you and me. It was created for demons. But there are people who, no matter what happens, they're going to reject the good news of Jesus Christ. But I'm still standing in faith that it's the will of God that every man, woman, and child in Columbia County will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord God Almighty. I'm going to believe that right to the very end. Same precious faith. We have the same precious faith that Peter had when he raised Dorcas from the dead in Acts chapter 9. The same faith when his shadow would walk by people and they would be supernaturally healed. The same faith in Acts chapter 3 when that man was begging alms and he said, silver. That same faith that he used when he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. He took the name of Jesus. John 14 and John 16. Jesus uses the same word, the King James, the New King James, the inspired version, or else the ESV, which is, when I was in seminary, I had to use the ESV, so I still have one, but it holds the rest of the books together. And anyways, at the end of my shelf. You'll find in chapter 16 when he
says what he prayed. That's the most profound. I've been spending a lot of time in John 13 because John speaks more about the intercessory ministry of Jesus than any of them. John 14, Jesus was with his disciples. The last night before he was going to be arrested, that night he was going to be arrested, he gets them together and he said, look, up until this point, you've never prayed like this. You sang it today. You've never prayed like this. Now, whatsoever things you ask the Father in my name, he'll do it. That's prayer. Greek word, there's a theology called proseukology, the theology of prayer. There are principles. Theology is not a bad word. It just means, I've heard preachers say, I'm not into theology. Well, then you're not into the Bible because it's the study of God. I'm into theology if it's the scriptures. But over in the next two chapters, he says this. In the same context, he said, now, when you pray, whatsoever things he says you ask in my name, I'll do it. That Greek word means to demand payment of something. I no longer say, Father, that man has a demon. I ask you to deliver him. No. I go up and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you foul devil, come out of him in the name of the Lord Jesus. I had a man brought to me by the city mission. I'm good friends with the city mission. Well, I'm best friends with them, but they don't believe like you believe or I believe. But I love that director. I've been going there 42 years or something preaching. And I love him. He's my brother. When there's a problem, he calls me. And we pray together. He doesn't believe in speaking in tongues, so I don't offend him. When I preach at the mission, every mission, just 2 weeks ago, I think I had 17, 18 men come forward and get saved at the city mission. I've never gone to the city mission without people getting saved. Never. He tells me, some weeks we have 20, 30 people out there who've come to Christ. I got people come for 10 years and don't get one. Difference? Every time before I go to a hospital, or I go to that prison, or I go to the city mission, I stand in front of that place with other men in the name of Jesus. Because if the gospel is hid, it's hid to those who are lost. For the God of this world has blinded their minds. So we have the name of Jesus. I speak the name of Jesus over that place. And I'm telling you, you might think it's, well, you have more faith. I don't have any more faith than anybody in this room. Just if we use it, I really believe when I bind the devil, he is bound. I learned that the hard way when we had, Pastor Olson, remember this? We're in the storefront church, and a man came. His mother and father went to our church. He lived in Atlanta, Georgia, and I found out afterwards that he was living, cohabitating with a woman who was a practicing witch. Oh, that's nothing. So he comes to our church. In those days, we didn't have a lot of money. We did have one of these mimeograph machines. You cranked it out, and when you touch it, your hands were blue. That was about all we had, you know. So we made visitors package. We put him in a little plastic baggie with something, right? So he comes to the church. I don't know. He shakes my hand, and he goes. At that time, we had Eastern Airlines. He gets on the plane. They take off out of Albany County Airport. He decides that God's calling him to walk out the door on the clouds. He tries to open the door. Remember that? Tries to open the door. People attacked him. They turned it around. His parents called me and said that he's been arrested. He's going to be arraigned in Albany County Federal Court there. Would you come and pray? I'd just gotten home, got dressed, came back to Albany County. So when I go in there, they have the man handcuffed to a pole up by where the judge is. And he's saying terrible things. I feel the Holy Spirit says to me, you should warn the judge that he's going to try to take his own life. So I tried to go up and say, sir, your honor, step back and all that kind of stuff. So I did tell them, but nobody would listen to me. So they take him into a room for observation, unbreakable glass. This guy, maybe 140 pounds, something like that, 150 pounds. I'm driving home. He's in there. And because of the scare of AIDS at that time, nobody wanted nothing to do with him. He was in that room, unbreakable glass. With his own body, he ran and he broke through that glass. Unbreakable glass. Took a piece, slit his throat. Blood squirting everywhere. Nobody would help him because they were afraid of AIDS and all that kind of stuff. His father and mother were in the other room. They come out. If they got the ambulance, long story short, they get him to Albany Medical Center. And they did an emergency operation, saved his life. So I'm home And his mother calls me, would you come back? I'm in Greenville, New York. I got dressed, I go back, and he's now in the room there. They have him chained before God, handcuffed, two arms and legs. There is an FBI person with him, a psychiatrist there. I never forget, I come down the hall. I didn't know what I was about to see. I come down the hall, I hear the mother say, my pastor's here. He's going to pray and God will heal my son. No problem until I saw him. All fours, he is cursing. I say, I am the Son of God. Blasphemous things he's shouting. And his neck is all orange from the operation was spilt all over him. And I walk in now, I'm like, I'm moved by what I see, by what I feel, by what I hear, by what I smell, by what I touch. And the psychiatrist is interviewing me. And the cop pulls out, is this your bag from your church? Yeah. What do you teach in your church? We don't do cloud walking, I can tell you that. You know, they're thinking like, what are you teaching in your church? And so I was so intimidated. The mother says, "My, I want my pastor to pray. If I could have done anything, if I could have got the hospital chaplain to come and pray, I would have given him $500." So I don't know what I did. I did use the name of Jesus. I know how to do that. I prayed. I left. It was unbelievable the things he was saying as I walked out the room. I go home, truthfully. I wrote my resignation. I'm quitting the ministry. I remember saying to myself, you don't have enough faith to blow the fuzz off a peanut. I don't know if peanuts have fuzz, but that's what came to my mind at the moment. Because you see, I had been lied to by the devil and I believed it. I thought I didn't have enough faith. The truth of it was, I had the same quality and quantity of faith that Paul did, that Peter did, and that Jesus has because he gave it to me as a gift. The devil tried to intimidate me through that situation. So I actually wrote a resignation. And the next day, his mother called me, would you come and pray? And I only went because I was a Christian. I was ashamed, I was embarrassed. And so as I go into the room, that same FBI guy stops me. He interviews me. He said, I need to know, do you know if he speaks Spanish? He's from Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know. You know, this was before the immigration issues. But I said, I don't know. He says, in the middle of the night, he opened up and told me my mother's name, told me where I was from, and told me that my mother was now burning in hell and that I'm going there with her. Got his attention, FBI. I said, I don't know. He said, I stood there shaking as he's saying things to me in Spanish. And I just stood there. That was my job. And he said, an hour or so later, he rises up like this with the handcuffs, and he screams. I'm a Star Trek guy. Anybody see the... Oh, boy, I probably should get down to Star Trek stuff. The Klingon death call. Ooh! When somebody dies, they, ooh! Apparently, this guy did the Klingon death call and screamed, scared the bejeebers out of the guy, and then he went completely limp. Moments later, he spoke to this guy with all of his senses, all his reasoning there. I come back in that morning. He's sitting up, no more chains, no more nothing. His mother had given him a Bible. He ended up going into federal observation for 45 days. And while he was in there, people led him to Christ. He studied the Bible. Here's what I'm telling you. I was so moved by my circumstance that I couldn't even believe God. So you know what happened? The Holy Ghost picked up on me just saying the name of Jesus. And he set that man free. I'm talking about the law of faith. I'm talking about it is a powerful law. It can change your situation. Some of you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you got all those natural reasoning, make sense type issues happening in your brain. And to hear that testimony of that young lady, I am so happy for you. I have to tell you something in all honesty. You know, my wife had just made a fresh commitment during this 21 days of fast. We always pray a lot. We pray in the Spirit. She now said for the rest of her life, she will pray 1 hour a day just in tongues. It's a powerful way. I've come comfortable with it. I don't know how to pray in a time of crisis. But I had to build my faith in that area. I've had people say to me when I was younger, oh, just a bunch of gibberish. Well, then it did sound like gibberish. Honda, Suzuki, Kawasaki. That's what I felt like I was saying. And when people told me that, I believed it. And then I started to doubt it. And so it's a powerful thing. Some of us old Christians, what would we do without that baptism of the Holy Spirit? I don't know. Truthfully, it's not something I do because I go to a rock solid church. It's the way we live. So can I get the worship team to come up? So you got the same measure of faith. Now here, tell me what that means. If Pastor Halstead had a soup kitchen downstairs, and apparently they do at different times, and he was serving the food. So if he had a big ladle and every time you came by, he gave everybody the same measure. But if all of a sudden he gave one person the ladle and Brother Johnson comes and he gives him a teaspoon, it's not the same measure. We got the same measure. I want you to stand up with me this morning. We're going to pray. I don't know what that clock means. Okay. I went to government schools. We didn't learn how to do that kind of stuff. That's why I got an old watch from 1951 anyways. I want to challenge you. I didn't come to say anything profound, but the Lord told me to pray and to break that lie. Wish to God, and I'm believing in 2023, I pray whole services come where all it is a testifying time. Brother Halstead gives the mic to a young person like that, and they say, you know, I was over at ShopRite, and I saw a girl there who had a cane, and I went over and said, can I just put my hand on you? You'll find most people will never reject you if you don't get all religious. Just put your hand on and speak that in the name of Jesus. We could testify about so many things God's doing, but God is restoring faith, biblical faith, understanding the law of faith. You know what? There's a lot of things that I do that I don't understand how it works. Stop waiting until you can understand it all and just accept it simply by faith. If your head is bowed with me just for a moment, I don't know if I told you, but I have to say that I love you guys and I love this house. We've been interceding for our 21 days for this church also because of the great potential. There are people in this region who would give anything to have the presence of God that's in this church. And believe me, it's here. You have to sense it. That inward witness is probably the most profound way that God speaks to the believer. I no longer look for a voice to come from heaven because guess what? Heaven's in me. I look with inside and the mighty one's there. I'm not afraid of demons anymore. I know they're powerful, but I'm not afraid of them. Because Jesus has given you and me the authority in this dispensation to enforce Calvary's victory. If you always do what you've always done, you're always going to stay where you've always been. Some of you need to just go home today, maybe take a picture or something that represents a child or whatever it might be, and look at them and say, in the name of Jesus, declare the word of God over them. Maybe you need to walk around your house and take the name of Jesus. And just declare, proclaim, agree. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I will not be moved by what it looks like. My brother waited 20 years for his son to be free. And now his son is preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be doing their wedding. I told him, you're going on a mission trip. I'm going to take him to Africa and put him out in a bush and leave him there for a couple of days. He'll find God. Or he'll get eaten by a hyena. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to pray a prayer of further dedication this morning. If you know that faith has seemed to elude you, or maybe you felt you didn't have enough faith, today, ask God to forgive you and receive the gift of faith. that's in you. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you for your marriage. It's in there for your kids. It's in there for your physical body. Just about a month ago, I had such an inflamed jaw. I don't know what happened. The pain was unbearable. My wife says, you're going to have to go to the dentist. I went to the dentist. He said, you're infected in your gum. It could be whatever it is and go into your body. You'll die. Your hair's going to fall out. And all these things he was saying to me. I finally said, hey, I'm out of here. So I got prayer. And you know what? That thing went right down, didn't go down overnight. But about 2-3 days, it went away, and I'm fine. I got no more problems. I'm only telling you, sometimes you just got to cast your bread upon the water. Sometimes you got to get out of the boat. And if Jesus has come, by the way, he healed all those who came to him. The scriptures replete, but you got to come to him. Let me ask you a question before we pray. You stood, if you were with Jesus 2,000 years ago, you're on the shores of Galilee when Jesus was preaching to the throngs and he called them forward. He says, all that came unto him, that woman with the issue of blood, she came unto him. If you were there 2,000 years ago and Jesus called for that prayer line and you were standing there with Jesus, would he have healed you 2,000 years ago? Come on, somebody tell me. Well, nothing has changed today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I gave this word of exhortation to this house. What they know, refresh us, O God, that as we pour out of this house, we'll see every opposition as an opportunity. We'll see, Father, areas that have eluded us and been like a stronghold. They come down. I speak Jesus over that situation. I speak Jesus over that situation. Now I come against every spirit of doubt that would try to erode and corrupt and cover up and just cover our faith. I break the power of a spirit of doubt that would attack every believer in this house, me included. And we call you down from your place of authority and we break its power, command it to go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. That young man who got baptized in water, I hear the Holy Spirit saying to you, this is the beginning of a wonderful journey. Put your hand in my hand and I'll take you through these troubled waters, says the Lord. You will look back and you will say, the Lord has done great things for me wherever I am glad. Hold fast, says the Lord, at this hour. Get with those who will get with you and walk with me in this hour. In the name of Jesus. And so, Father, now, right now, we absolutely receive the word of the Lord that I have faith. I have overcoming faith. That I've been born again. Not by a corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible seed, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And Father, this day, we declare together, Galatians 2:20, we have been crucified with Christ. Come on, I need a witness this morning. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, help me. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, if you have no doubt, lift up holy hands this morning. Just let me pray a blessing.